Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 13th day of June 2020. We're going to be looking at what a lot of people are going through these days, and that is pain. It is a significant experience, to say the least. And we're going to be looking at how pain operates in us and what it forces us to do. And it's all in our genetics, as it were. And I hope to be able to help you. Please understand, during this whole human experience that we are going through, that there is a lot of political ball being played here in Washington. There's a lot of people setting the standards, as it were, for how human beings are going to act and react and live in this world. And so what we're really seeing here is the degradation of the human heart. And that's the difficulty that we are facing. It's not just the pandemic. It is not just the virus. It is the degradation of the human heart and how it transpires to bring about great pain and sorrow in our life. So we're going to take a look at that here on this radio program. I'm getting all sorts of different kinds of emails from people. They're very... what do I want to say? To the point. And some of them are desperate. Some of them are angry. There are certain emails I'm not sharing with you because they're so angry. They're hostile. A lot of people just don't really understand themselves. And this is a time in our world, in this country, at least for us, that we will get to experience truth about ourselves, the facts of what is going on and what is not going on within us. So I'm hoping to be able to help you with that. That's my motive here today. Let's go to the first question. This comes from Telly. And you don't hear many people named Telly. Telly, I liked your name very much. Reminds me of Telly Savalas. You probably don't even know who he was. He was a very interesting actor. Anyway, Telly, he asked me this. He says, Greg, where does pain come from, especially heart pain? I lost one of my cousins to the virus, and I feel such pain. What is this pain I am feeling? Please help, Telly. Telly, I will try to help. My help to anybody who listens to the radio program or anything that I do is based on their mental acuity. If you have a parochial mind, you're going to have a very difficult time hearing me. But if you have a mind that is able to step aside from emotionality and anger and fear, if you can step aside from your self-preservation for a few moments, I might be able to stick a few insights in there and really help you. So I say this to you as a preamble to what I have to say about pain. There are different kinds of pain in this body that we experience, and all of them are of the body. There's the pain of disappointment, the pain of shame, the pain of anger, humiliation. There's all sorts of different kinds of pain. But the pain you are talking about here with your cousin is the pain of loss. But more than that, it isn't even about your cousin. I was listening to NPR the other day on my way to the post office. And they had a couple of people on who, what shall I say, were one was a mortician and a poet, which I thought was really interesting. And the other one was someone who had just lost their husband. And this whole thing was, and the discussion was, why do we feel basically pain at death? And when, you know, someone dies and all that other stuff. And evidently the mortician and poet had worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, which I did too in Escondido for a while. And he talked, and I have to say, I liked Elizabeth a great deal and respected her work, but I never felt she went very deep. And the whole idea was kind of a glancing blow at what pain is really all about. Most people avoid it, but it is necessary, especially in spiritual work, in maturity. And that's where Elizabeth, in my opinion, dropped off the map, and where these people who were talking on NPR dropped off the map. And you can't really talk about this with human beings because they think that their life should be pain-free and that pain is a sign of weakness. Pain is a sign of doing something wrong. And none, and I mean none of that is true. Now, if you tell a person this, they're not going to believe you. You probably, my listeners here, don't believe me either. They think, in fact, many of you probably are listening to this radio program hoping to learn something to help you avoid pain. And that would be truly very foolish. You would miss, and most people do miss. That's what it's all about, missing. So, you ask me about this pain. Pain occurs because my body, your body, is coded, genetically coded, to survive. For our bodies, it's all about self-preservation. Nothing more, nothing less. And when something threatens our self-preservation, and this self-preservation goes into our psychology too. We're trying to preserve our psychological profile inside of us, how we think, how we emotionalize. We are just psychologically trying to keep it together. Now, most of us have a very limited psychology, very small-minded people. We want to believe that no one ever dies. And so in this broadcast that I heard on NPR, it was about why do people have to see the corpse? Why do what is the issue when someone can't be there when their grandma dies or their father or child dies? Why is this a lasting scar? I will tell you why. And it's none of the reasons they said. It's not my experience of that at all. It is because of reality. Most of us do not believe that we are going to die. Oh, you and I can say, yes, I know I'm going to die. I know, you know, this body's going to shed its mortal coil and all that. But we really don't believe that. We really don't. Deep inside, we think that isn't going to happen to me. And when you see your grandma or you see your husband, wife, or even your children leave their body, and you're not there to hold their hand, it doesn't seem real. We need evidence because we're lame. We're mentally ill in this country and in most countries. We just can't accept the idea of death as being a part of livingness, a part of the life experience here on earth. So if you're not holding the hand of your beloved while they die and feeling that immense pain of seeing someone die, it's almost a morbid curiosity, and no one wants to admit that. Oh, look at that. People look at it and they think to themselves, well, that'll never happen to me, or I hope that never happens, blah, blah, blah. The human mind is full of junk, and a lot of that junk is contained in the unconscious mind, where we live and move and have our operation in. And we're arrogant, all of us. We're arrogant about all of this, and we don't really want to see the truth of the matter. So we feel pain. The human heart, Tally, thinks it's going to live forever. The human heart believes that it is going to live forever and ever and ever, and that it will never die. So the pain you feel is the human going, wait a minute, wait a minute. Grandma here, who I loved very much, or my wife or husband or child that I loved very much, they're dying. You think it's about them. No, it's not. It's more cunning than that. It's about me and you. It's about our death. You mean that could happen to me? You mean that might happen to me? Yes. And then deep in the mind, in the unconscious, we think, well, what did we lose? Grandma used to make these wonderful cookies. Oh my God, I'm going to lose them. We got to get their recipe. You know, my husband, he took care of me. He made money for me. He blah, blah, blah. You start seeing the self-preservation come in. And there is nothing that the human body loves more than anyone who offers them a form of self-preservation, be it financially, emotionally, or even psychologically. That's why we have political parties. It's all about self-preservation. And why politics is so big, it's self-preservation. It isn't about the country. It isn't about democracy. We haven't ever had a democracy, not even from day one. It's been a republic that has turned into fascism. So if you haven't noticed all this, it's because of the same mechanism that keeps you from seeing you're going to die. And no one wants to see this. You think it's your human heart that is, you know, being hurt. And you could be very right about that. The human heart is blind, arrogant, biased. And it needs a lot of support, emotional, psychological, physiological support. And as long as you and I live in the confines of this kind of mentality, you're going to find, Telly, that your heart is going to hurt. It won't be just this, it'll be everything. And then when the heart feels good, it's because some myth about death or life has been adverted for a few minutes, a few moments, a few years. Oh, you know, I'm young, and it's going to happen to me, or I don't have to worry about that, or I have plenty of time to do this, that, and the other. Or this is, you know, and we start to think that all of that matters. And because I live in such a confine, such a belief system, such an ugly belief system, I can never know the truth. Most people are blinded by their human heart. So, Telly, where does the pain come from? It comes from assumption, ignorance, arrogance. That's where it comes from. And what you're feeling right now about, you know, the death of your cousin and everything is really not about the death of your cousin. It's about your own death, what you're going to be facing, and what you're all about that you don't know. And there you are. Nothing more, nothing less. It's all about pride, vanity, selfishness. I know you're angry. You're going, I don't feel that way. But you see, most people don't know themselves well enough to know what they feel and where it comes from. So there's your way, your truth, your light, Telly. And I know my answer is not gratifying, but it is truthful. And I hope that it helps you in some way. And please forgive me, Telly. Now you know why I ask at the end of every program to forgive me. Namaste. The next question. This comes from Edward. He says, why did God give us a human heart? It is always hurting me. Edward. He doesn't tell me where he lives. Why did God give? You came fully equipped. And if you ever thought that there was some sort of intelligence in the universe, whether it be God or whatever you think it to be, and you are given this human heart that always feels pain, wouldn't it make you wonder how intelligent is this God? Or is this universal intelligence? Wouldn't it make you, wait a minute. Why, if this is so smart, how come this is all happening to me kind of thing? Well, it isn't all of that. It doesn't work that way. Now, I want you to hear me. You're not going to like what I'm going to say. Most people don't, but it is the truth, and I have found it for my own self. There are two ways to mature in this world. The whole idea is to mature into your soul. Whether you believe me or not doesn't matter. That will sustain your pain. Okay? So we live as a compromise to our authentic heart. And we also live in the whole condition of what will happen to us, how things will happen to us, the consequences, as it were. And we don't want to think that we live for the sake of consequence. So the idea of the pain is to show you one thing alone, Edward, and try to understand this, please. Futility. Futility is our great teacher. And it is only through futility that we mature and grow past our human body and stop being enamored with it and what it can produce, both in the form of what we call happiness and sadness. The whole constitution falls apart. It's a noble effort, but it all falls apart in the whole pursuit of happiness thing. Well, my happiness might make your unhappiness. What about that? They didn't think about that. In the pursuit of what? They didn't say spiritual awakening. The pursuit of transcendence. They wouldn't have done that. They were political men. They were businessmen. They had slaves, all of them. The very thing that they were talking about was the very thing that they were against. They were going against. The whole White House was built by slaves. And now you see, you know, who's drawn into that kind of building, that kind of quarters. This, you can't heal humankind through politics. You can only make it more and more murky, and it becomes more and more difficult to understand the nature of yourself. You see, we don't see ourselves as spiritual beings. We see ourselves as animals who are meant to stay alive as long as possible for no particular reason other than to stay alive and avoid death. That's it. There is nothing else. This makes my life futile when I live in such a manner. And instead of me transcending and understanding that pain is there to help me see my own dependency on the futile aspect of my body, my mind, and its emotions. You can't depend upon it for anything else. As much, quote-unquote, happiness as you are given in your body, you will also have the same degree and even more of pain and sorrow, if you have not already noticed that. So what are we to do? We have to accept our pain. We have to accept where we find ourselves. If you do not find yourself in the human body and the futility of it and the desperateness that it often feels about its own, shall we say, survival, then you miss. And most people don't. You can find a lot of smart people in this world. There are plenty of smart people. But there are very few people who are wise. And wisdom and intelligence merge together to formulate the ability to understand the bigger picture. People will brag to me, I've had a lot of students, loser students, believe it or not, who had very high IQs. They could think themselves in and out of everything, but the one thing they couldn't do is understand in their high IQ, that they as individuals are missing the meaning of their life. It wouldn't help them in the spiritual realm. Just because you are coded genetically and biologically, maybe with mental acuity that is higher than the average bear, as it were, doesn't mean that you're wise. Wisdom comes at a higher price than IQ. And in wisdom, there is the understanding that what Lao Tzu said, there will always be disgrace. Disgrace comes with having a body. Buddha talked about it too, about the petulant body and how our hair is on fire. He didn't say, blessed are those, nor did Jesus, who have a high IQ. It just doesn't matter. So you can solve a few problems here and there. Are you using it to serve humankind? Are you using that high IQ to love other people, to help other people love themselves? What are you doing with your IQ? Buttering your own bread and thinking that you're sitting there, and I've had students do this among my students at retreats and workshops, and think, I'm above all this. And anything they didn't understand or couldn't deal with, they just pawned off to the idea, well, I'm smarter than that. I don't buy that crap. And that's the way people are. You can't help those people. So why did God give us human? God didn't... Your whole theory about God and giving and why you are the way you are and all that is wrong. And you're going to have some sort of lifetime where there's going to be a great deal of pain and sorrow until you're done and you look at it and say, no more. I'm not putting myself through this any longer. I have to find something more transcending, more authentic. And there you are. And if you can do that, if you're willing to do that, then something of the other shore can reach you. And you will be very, very surprised at what happens in that other shore experience, because it is immensely beautiful and deeply, deeply insightful. And it all lives within you, Edward, right now in this moment. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from William. He does not tell me where he lives either. My heart goes from feeling good things to feeling bad things, from feeling hate to love. What up? He says, William. Yeah, the human heart is fickle, and it is always looking for self-preservation. And the ego, of course, projects this on our brain and keeps us tipsy, is how I like to call it. I would live my life when I was younger and it would be tipsy. What I mean by that is it's going to be either ugly or beautiful, either good or bad. And if I lived my life in that tipsy mentality of little bit here, little bit there, I miss. There's an old Zen story, I'm going to quickly paraphrase it, from a very beautiful master in Thailand. And this woman would stand up during one of his lectures and want to go into the intricacies of psychological behaviors and prototypes and mechanisms. And he said, ma'am, you are like a person who owns a chicken farm and is more interested in the chicken droppings than you are the eggs. And that's really what this is all about. Your human heart is not trustworthy. Your human heart, my human heart, they are not trustworthy. They are the extent of our futility in this world. And until we are willing to stand back from them, to have a different point of view of them and see them for what they are, we will not mature into transcendence. We will never mature. You have to be on it 24/7. You have to watch what is going on within you. And the messages that your ego, that your vanity, your pride, that your human heart is saying to you. And then you're going to have to slough it off. And that takes devotion, dedication, and discipline. And most people don't have that. They're not interested in that. They want more. They want security. They want fun till they're, I guess, till death takes them away. And that's as far as they go. They don't do anything else with their life other than that. So there you are, William. I don't have a lot of fun things to say, but they are truthful, and they will help you if you're willing. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful questions. All of you, please forgive me. Namaste. And if you have any questions, you know what to do. Greg@aspire.org. That's Greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful day.